or anointing like theirs, and you've not put in the time, the effort, the training, or anything like that, that would not be fair of God. I played a few instruments in band when I was coming up in school, but I didn't do like Dr. Jackson. And so Dr. Jackson can play multiple instruments and write music and do all of that. I can't do all of that. And I would never, ever get a job in music like he has gotten, because I'm not qualified, nor would it be right for me to. Because I never spent the time training, preparing to be what he has been. So for me to pray, Lord, I want to be the maestro of the human jukebox one day, like Dr. Jackson was. And Lord be like, you missed it. Matter of fact, you'd have started so late in the game, I doubt that you'd have time to catch up at this point. That's just how much time and attention and retention and all that he spent in preparation to get to where he was to be able to accomplish that. And anybody else who has been successful in anything else that they've done, you can't expect the anointing of God to fall on you and it hasn't cost you anything. So be careful about what it is you ask God for and not worthy of. Because whenever you ask God to do something in you, God's going to require something of you. He's going to require something of you. And God wants you to understand how he operates so you'll know better how to do this. Now again, we're talking about practicing. Somebody say practicing. Practice is so important, because when you recognize, I mean, I don't know how many of you ever had an opportunity, and I'm not talking about somebody who's a professional speaker or a true churchman. I'm talking about a regular member who's had to do a welcome or something like that, haven't done that for the first time. You know, anybody ever had to do that response, something like that? I'm talking to you right now. How many times when you found out you had to do it and you accepted it, did you go over your little speech in the mirror? Catch the dog, the cat. Listen to this. Because the family just kept running it like they got tired of hearing it. But you kept going over and over and over till you felt comfortable with it, till you felt like, and you didn't, you know when you really got comfortable with it? When you had done it already. And then you probably weren't comfortable with the results of it. But up until then, you practiced and rehearsed and you went over and over trying to get it right. That's if you had any consciousness about what you are and who you are and what you do.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.
Trust me, you want to pay attention. Judges 7, verse 7, the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men, I'll rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others to the crib. the Message version. Thank you, Eugene Peterson. He put it this way. God said to Gideon, I'll use these 300 men who lapped at the stream to save you and give Midian into your hands. All the rest may go home. On your way to your seat, push about three people and say, just give me 300. Just give me. I want to talk about the 300. You may be seated at every campus. You may be seated. The 300 is a 2006 epic fantasy war film based on the 1998 comic series. It's not a movie I would recommend to small children, and really not even to women. It's more of a grimy kind of movie. Every now and then I go to what I call a chick flick with Lady Vernon. I'm thinking I'm only here so you'll give me a kiss tonight. It's a chick flick, and women enjoy certain movies, and I've gotten old enough to know sometimes I go to a place with my wife just because it's the kind of movie. Some nights we'll lay there and just watch a movie that's, to me, more geared toward women, but just to get in her world. I guess the antithesis of that would be the 300. The 300 is kind of gory. Most of you brothers have seen it, and we all like King Leonidas, who leads his 300-person Spartan army against Xerxes and his several hundred thousand men army, this false god Xerxes and his hundreds of thousands versus King Leonidas. Most of us know it. I don't care what the filmmaker says. I think that it is at least in part derived from the biblical 300 of the Bible. Somebody must have read Judges 7 before they wrote that film. It's not that much coincidence in the world that the movie The 300, I think, to me, is at least loosely based off of Judges 7. You'll see what I mean in just a minute. Do me a favor, look at verse 2. I'm not going to be long. I preached the shortest sermon of my life on Thanksgiving Eve. This may be the second shortest because I'm really here to do something else today. You'll catch it in a little while. Verse 2 says, God said to Gideon, you have too large of an army with you. I can't turn Midian over to them. They'll take all the credit. Look at me downtown. Look at me east. And say, I did it all by myself. It's all about me. Some quick context so you can respect the content. Look at Pastor. Keep in mind that all Gideon has in the Lord's army is 32,000 soldiers. The Midianites, the rough estimate, most scholars agree, was at least a couple hundred thousand. Let me say that again. The enemy had a couple hundred thousand brothers. All Gideon has is 32,000. And God rolls up on Captain Gideon and says, I think you got too many people. Okay, let me slow down. I'm good in English. As you all can tell, words are what I do, but I only went to general math. I don't know how I got out of high school with just general math, but even with just general math, I know that if they got 200,000, I only got 32,000. I'm already outnumbered and outmanned, and God has the unusual audacity, the unmitigated gall to look at Captain Gideon and say, you got too many. Now, somebody should be tripping already. He's saying that if you fool around and win, even with 32,000, you may think it was because y'all had heart and ingenuity. So you may say we were outnumbered. Somebody here got jumped by five cats. Okay, I'm looking for somebody that grew up down the way. Okay, it was eight of them and three of y'all, but y'all just got out on them some type of way and fooled around and got on the bus. Like, it was six of them, it was three of us, but I dropped one. My dude dropped one. Next thing I know, I kicked this cat in the face. It was like eight of them. He'd be lying and everything, but he said it was nine, then 10. It was only four of us, and we got out on a man and ran down and got away. You see how they're taking credit? So God says, I want to make sure that when you come out of this, because you coming out, I'm trying to talk to six people. When you come out of this, I want to stack the odds against you so much that when you come out of it, you can't give nobody the credit but me. I'm already losing half the church, but is there anybody here that can look back at one place and space in your life and say, nobody but Jesus could have did that for me? Can I suggest to you that the reason why God has not brought you out yet, lean on somebody and say, it's not bad enough yet. Go ahead. God wants it to get so bad. He wants the odds so stacked against you. He wants the bills so high on the table that when he makes a way out of no way, haters, family members, enemies, everybody gonna have to say, how did she come out of that? That church stuff must be working for her. God likes praise and God likes credit. Oh, Pastor, that is very arrogant of God. That's a bit narcissistic. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't think that divinity and arrogance can go together. In order to be narcissistic or arrogant, you have to think that you're something that you're not. But if you are God, you are all of that and more. So whatever God says he is, he's that and more. So you can be arrogant because you are not all of that. You can think more highly of yourself than you should because you have human limitations. But when you are sovereign and have everything and know everything, there's no such thing as narcissism because God and narcissism cannot go together. If God says, praise me, you just gotta praise him. If God says, give me the credit, you got to give him the credit. And I need 50 people at one of these campuses that will step back right now in retrospect and say, everything I got, God gave it to me. Everything I am, he made me that. Do I have anybody here that looks back over your life and says, yes, I got a degree, but that's only because God gave me some support from my mama, helped me get student aid, gave me a little car to ride around in. Slap five people, say, God did it, God did it, God did it. He says, you got too many. He says, you got too many. He says, here's what I want you to do. Verse 3, he says, make a public announcement. Y'all pray for me. When I saw public announcement, I had a Jay-Z flashback. Allow me to reintroduce my... I'm sorry. Pray for me. This is church. 35 and younger, please pray for me. Anyone afraid can go home. Anyone who has any qualms at all, everybody come here. He says, I want you to reduce the crowd. But what I want you to sort of zero in on with me for just a minute is the means of reduction. The means of reduction. He says, the first thing I want you to do, tell anybody who's scared, anybody who has any, don't you love this, qualms at all about being here, they can roll out. Somebody here has been to the military. All ex-military, throw your hands up. All of you know you just cannot leave the military because you feel like it. There's something called AWOL. You will literally be given a dishonorable discharge, possibly put in jail if you don't even show up for work on time or don't call in. My brother-in-law was in the Air Force for 25 years. There was no I'm not going and I'm not calling. That's illegal. This is crazy. Once you're in, you're in. He had the nerve to say, no AWOL. No dishonorable discharge. Any brother who don't want to fight or you have any qualms at all about this militaristic conflict, roll out. No strings attached. The Bible says 22,000 of the 32 were like, for real? Out. And I ain't kissed my wife yet. Please, I miss my babies. I miss my warm bed. I miss my girl. 22,000 left. So the first thing that I see in terms of the means of reduction is availability. Find out who's willing to avail themselves. Oh, let me get to my assignment. Let me get to my assignment. Y'all pray for me. I ain't got my best stuff today, but I came to help some men and tell all of you this. Tomorrow night, the first thing I need you to be is available. You don't have to be perfect. Just be available. You're dealing with some chick. That's okay. Just be available. She's not your wife. On the side, just be available. Got this porn addiction? That's cool. Just be available. Got some money problems? Just be available. Got some father pain? Cool. Just be available. Because the first way to find out who's going to be in the Lord's army is to find out who want to be here. Y'all, Y'all pray for me, but I know Lady Vernon and I have been blessed with thousands of members between all these campuses, but no matter how many members you got, sometimes you hate to lose any, but time and experience and seasoning has taught me that as soon as a person act like they don't want to be at the Word no more, I'm like, let's just kiss and